Welcome to the Down About Down podcast from County Down, Northern Ireland, with your host Chris Scott, for your ears only.
Saturday the 10th of June 2023, I popped along to the second Cornerstone Fest held in Killaloe, organised by a very good friend of mine, singer-songwriter Conal Montgomery. I know there were months and months and months of preparation, ticket selling and promotion, and that all culminated in a great set of local talented musicians and singers and songwriters all on stage there at that brilliant venue in Main Street Killaloe, the Dufferin Coaching Inn and Hall. It was billed as 11 acts over 12 hours and all in aid of that charity LCCL and Pop-Up Art based in Downpatrick. They support those affected by mental health, addiction and social isolation in a number of ways. The bill listed included Emma Deegan and Connor Laird, Jimmy Quinn, Stillwater, Madison and Matthew, Charlie Hanlon, Short Circuit, Every March, Take It Easy, Ricky Jordan, Zach Mack and Black Dog Moon. And there was free entry from 2pm to 6pm. I managed to have a chat with some of the artists appearing at the event, catching up with some previous interviewees and speaking to others for the very first time. First up, it was Newton Ard's own Ricky Jordan.
Chatting with Chris on the Down About Down podcast.
Back to the beautiful surroundings outside the castle in Killaloe, where I was this time last year for the radio show. Now we're on the podcast, Down About Down podcast. I'm going to welcome on first guest tonight, Ricky Jordan. Welcome, Ricky.
Hi, Ian. How you doing?
Yeah, all good. Ricky, we've never met before.
No, we haven't.
And I don't think you've really been Killaloe before either.
Well, my girlfriend's actually from sort of local area. She's from down Strangford, and I know her mum's from around this neck of the woods. So I have been down here a few times, just chilling out in the sun and having a nice wee coffee and the picnic and stuff like that. So I do know the area a wee bit, but I'm not like here all the time or anything, you know.
Well, this is the second year of the Corner Fest organised by our own local Conal Montgomery. Or Conal Montgomery, it depends on where you live and how you speak. It'll hit me for that. But Ricky, you are a singer. You're a musician.
I'm indeed. I actually started out a guitar player by trade. I'll be a session player. I've played around Edinburgh and different places to go, which is where I sort of learnt most of my trade after obviously learning the guitar since I was about three. And then the singing came second. It was very much a slow one at the start, you know. But hopefully I've improved a wee bit, like, you know.
3 years of age, we were playing a guitar. Is there music in the family then? How did that happen?
Well, my family, my mum and dad always have had music taste. They've always been into all different types. My dad was big into his sort of 70s rock, like Thin Lizzy, everything like that. My mum was very much a blues person, Rory Gallagher, Gary Moore. And I just saw that when I was, I think my first time of really, there's pictures of me at 2.5 pretending to play my uncle's guitar and everything. I've just been around it all my days. It was one thing that I just took one look at, and that was me. I never wanted to turn back, you know.
I mean, 3 years of age and then you progress. Now, I'm not going to ask your age, but I'm going to ask you what music influenced you.
Well, like I said, I was a big influence. Gary Moore was a big influence for me, a local guy, like, and I used to sit and watch his videos and jump around the living room with a tennis racket pretending to be playing in front of millions myself, like, and I knew every note that he was playing at the age of about five, like, and, you know, just to listen to. I was also a huge big fan, actually, at the time of Guns N' Roses, and a big fan of Thin Lizzy and things like that, so they would be my original interests. But as I grew older and started studying and everything, music and doing different things in the college, my taste became endless, you know, into the jazz world, funk, anything really, to be honest, you know, anything with a bit of talent. So yeah, it just grew from there.
So you said about studying, you went to local college then, did you?
Yes, I went and studied in Bangor College. I was there just straight after school. I went straight into it and really got a lot of experience in there, got in a nice wee band called Osmosis. It was pretty good, and we did a lot of sort of gigs around the place, and that sort of started me off in the performance route, you know.
From that direction then, where did you go after college then? I mean, was music always going to be bringing in the pounds, or did you have to go another route in life first?
Well, music would have always been my thing. My mum has bipolar, so I actually dropped out of the college after a while because we had a bit of a bad summer with that, and I was quite young and had to deal with a lot. So after that, I ended up moving to Edinburgh, and moving to Edinburgh, I actually just started working in nightclubs, bars. I just went over with £400 and slept my mate's sofa for about 2 months, and then just got a job and worked my way up. And then I found guys that were into music, and we got into a wee three-piece band, and we started playing locally around the Flan, you know, the Fringe Festival and things. Ended up playing in front of loads of people, and we started to build a bit of a name for ourselves, and, you know, we were doing quite well at the time. So we tended to, that's where I sort of mainly would have done it. But at the same time, to get in the pounds, I was actually working in bars, clubs, things you know.
So you came back then from Edinburgh at some stage?
Yeah, I came back from Edinburgh then after a few years of being out there, and then just came straight back in, and again just got into hotel trade really and started working around that. Realised it wasn't for me after about 2 or 3 years of doing that, because there's a lot of work for little money. And, you know, at the time I was managing, doing night manager for like Aralis and Blue and things. And then I then thought, no, I need to do something else here. So I went out and started getting a few students through the door, started just teaching, went down that line. Then I built up like a business teaching and got into schools. Now I'm in the schools like 4 days a week teaching plus from home. And then I've just grown from there, and I've decided to come back out and start doing my original stuff again. Only in the past 6 months, really, from about Christmas, I've started pushing that, you know, decided to bring an album out in this summer sometime. I still haven't decided the date, but it's on the way. So I've been releasing singles ever since.
Yeah, I mean, brilliant. Procrastination, I think I'd noticed online, and We Won't Roll Over.
Yeah, We Won't Roll Over. That's a tough one. Like, I was still in my mind whether I should play that here today or not. Bit of a protest song, as you can hear, if you've listened to it. But that's what actually started all this here. Basically, the album concept is that I've gone through actually a progression of sort of what we would call awakening. So it's like what I would call awakening, definitely. I mean, like, I started off actually going through a bit of depression myself, and through that I was actually teaching a student who was big into like meditation and things like that, and she just said, you know, try this mindfulness meditation. And I thought, what is this? Like, I was never ever had any experience with any of that before. I was a complete atheist, didn't really think anything of it. Thought, does that mean I have to sit there like a Shaolin monk and do this stuff? She said, no, just go home and try this. So I did, and because I practiced the guitar, I think that must have been what it was that had me do it so well. I already had that state of focus and I didn't realise it. And then I had this experience, and through that experience of seeing all these lights and colours, and I felt something click in my mind. I thought, flip, it broke my head. So I started studying what was going on, and I started learning about the chakra system, and then I started making a lot of sense. And through that, I've actually grown and awakened a lot. Like, and that's really happened over the past 10 years. And this album sort of comes through that phase. Mm-hmm. You know, I split up with my ex-wife, and one of the main reasons for the depression was my daughter and having to leave her behind, but making sure that she knew I was always around no matter what. And that started off the first song, Lost, and then just moved on in. So every song has a meaning. Mm-hmm. So the new ones there, especially We Won't Roll Over, obviously came from the whole COVID thing. I'm being sort of more in that line of things going on, having seen things happen in 2016 and hearing stories of these things already starting to come to pass. I could almost see it happen at the time, going, I don't really know what's happening here, but there's something not quite right. It doesn't feel right to me. So I released a song, and I decided to bring it out now because it's obviously still ongoing, the whole things in the world. And I just thought, you know what, if it wakes people up, it wakes people up. If people don't want to hear it, they don't want to hear it. It's fine. I'm just going to sing it.
Yeah, brilliant. You know? So you are a producer as well then. I mean, you produce your own music then. You've done all that. Is that all your work?
All of that's my work. I haven't done it. I've literally done it from my home studio. I'm now starting to actually hire that out and hopefully get a few bands through the door. That's what my main aim is next, is to try and start working in sort of production or recording, and, you know, as a sound engineer, because I've really taken the time to learn it over the past 2 or 3 years, and I really enjoy it, and I'm coming on well. I have a song written for people as well. I've been songwriting for a guy called Phil Lamy, who does like Emotional Debris, and the song's got over to Abbey Road Studios, and the whole album was produced out there. He's working on that at the moment. So I've been working with him. He's a poet, and he asked me to sort of help write some stuff. So I got all the music sorted. They liked it, recorded it, and they've been pushing that a wee bit since. I've also recorded another album for him, which he's still working on getting out as well, because he's sort of building up a whole collection of things before he releases it. But yeah, so I've been at it, and I'm getting better at it, and I just feel it's time now to try and push that as well, you know, try and give the local community a wee bit of opportunity to record and stuff.
Do you think now that kids growing up, maybe from your era, certainly from my era, you wouldn't even have a music recording studio in your sight anywhere, but nowadays you can do it in their own bedrooms. Is that going to be a competitor with you as well, where kids are really staying in their own bedrooms and doing all this stuff?
Yeah, of course. Like, I mean, like, as I said, I'm in the school, and the school has opportunity for a decent recording studio, and a lot of the kids who are getting into music are learning it all at once. That's great to see, you know, that at the end of the day, if that's what they can do, it saves them a lot of money. That's one of the main reasons why I did it. So, you know, it's encouraged big style to go and learn that sort of thing. When you get down in the nitty-gritty of the mastering and the mixing and things like that, there is whenever it starts to become more difficult, and it really does take you to study it. And until you know, if you're just sitting in the bedroom recording day on a wee laptop and everything, get good results. But that's whenever it sort of comes in its own, whenever you can offer that wee bit more, because you can get it to sound like a top production then, as opposed to someone sitting there and recording in the bedroom. But a lot of the kids who have got talent and that sort of thing, and have a good ear and have a good knowledge, I mean, they're all whiz kids in the computer. I mean, like, I'm a dinosaur now, and every time I look at it, it breaks. So it's more encouraging. It's great to see. So I'm happy if that is a competitor, because it would obviously encourage them to try doing that themselves, you know. But mix and master and things like that, I'll do a bit of everything if people need it, you know.
You're not really a stranger to these parts. I see you've been over in, at Saul in the barn.
That's it. I've been playing in the barn there a couple of times now. I would do the odd cover gig down there. They, again, just went in and chatted to the guy through my girlfriend. Lovely guy, Michael Venter, and he actually got me a gig straight away, and it was very nice of him. So I went down there and played with a drummer and my friend Gary Beggs, and the two of us did a wee set there, and then the second time I played with a bass player because he wasn't available. It seemed to go down well. So, yeah, hopefully get a few more gigs down there with them too, like. Good. Definitely.
Good. Ricky, listen, we're restricted to numbers tonight in the Dufferin, so not everybody's going to get in to hear you tonight. So how can we tune into you then? Where do we get your music?
Well, www.rickyjordan.com, R-I-K-K-I. It's as simple as that. I have everything set up where if you go in there, it'll take you straight to the Spotify, YouTube, everything that I've got going on with the click of a button. It also has all my services, my teaching, my production, songwriting, session playing, whatever you require. So that'll be the main hub that you can go to, and that'll just get you to everything. www.rickyjordan.com.
And just before I let you go, where are you going to be in 10 years?
In 10 years? Good question, really. Hopefully still teaching, hopefully still doing that sort of stuff. Going to try bringing a few albums and things like that, and you never know if I can get a few tours around England and maybe even Europe, you know, and get into a few festivals. That's my aim. I am intending to bring out a blues album after this, because at the minute all my songs have a tendency to not fall into any particular genre, as you've probably noticed. So that's kind of like a great thing because it shows that you're eclectic, but it also isn't great because you don't have a specific community you can target. So my next aim, because I've been into it since I was a young kid, I'm going to aim for that sort of blues rock album and then try and fit into that actually blues community so I can get around and start doing some festivals and stuff.
Ricky, can I thank you for taking the time out to speak to us on Down About Down?
Absolutely, no problem. Thank you for letting me speak. Much appreciated.
You're welcome. Big thank you to the talented Ricky Jordan. For further details, go to www.rickyjordan.com. And that's Ricky spelled R-I-K-K-I. Thanks again, Ricky. Moving on then, I had a quick chat with Killaloe's very own Jamie Quinn. And this was just the very first time in a live gig that he'd ever been on stage. And I must say, it was a brilliant first performance. I was speaking now to another artist who's literally just off stage. Cigarette in one hand, pint in the other. It's Jamie Quinn. Jamie, welcome.
Hello, very nice to meet you.
Jamie, we live in the same town. I don't think we've ever met before. Jamie, I just listened to a set that you put on there. Absolutely brilliant, mate. And
very
I'd
much.
Say, is that one of your first?
Yeah, well, first live gig.
Yeah, okay. Ever. So there you were with guitar in hand. And so how did you get from... I'm not going to ask you how you got from the house to here, but you know what I'm saying to you. How did you get on stage here? How did all that come about?
Well, I posted a video on Facebook, and one of the man running it, Colin Montgomery, a family friend, he's seen it, and just asked me if we'd do a wee half-hour slot. And,
did you have to think twice about it?
Well, no, because maybe we'd been inebriated at the time. So I said yes, and then next day I was maybe him in a hand.
Yeah, okay.
But now... got nervous there at the start. Yeah.
But it is a big thing, Jimmy. You know, whenever you sit in your house in front of a video, that's hard enough to do. But then once you know you're going to be in front of people, it's a different ballgame, isn't it?
No one's staring at me in the house. apart from the dog, maybe. Yeah.
But, I mean, you're out there playing a guitar. How long have you been playing for?
Well, 30 now. since I was 14.
Oh, okay. And the voice, I mean, where did you find that? Whenever you're like 14, 15, it's maybe not the coolest thing to be doing, singing, but...
I wasn't able to sing. I didn't know I could sing.
Right.
It's only whenever I turned... It's actually a funny story. Me and my mate were playing one of them Guitar Hero things, and it was a singing one.
Yeah.
And I sang and found out that I could actually sing a wee bit, so just stemmed from there.
Yeah,
and then tech... had to be the vocalist in tech at the music course. Just all started from that there.
Have you ever written your own stuff then? Would you ever venture into that, or is it always cover?
My lyrics aren't good.
They're not good yet, but you can get going at it.
No, I just stick to doing the covers.
Yeah, brilliant.
Or else putting my own wee twist on covers.
Yes, okay.
Making a bit my own.
Do you see a future then? Will you keep doing it?
Play maybe a bit of pubs or stuff like, but I wouldn't see a big future in it, to be honest.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're on the circuit, I mean, that's good enough, isn't it, Jimmy?
No, I'd like to be able to do that there at some point.
Well, you've certainly the talent, so it's just getting over that nerve stage and then just getting back out at it again.
See, I can't blame the sun for my sweating. I'm just blaming that on the nerves. I had to change my t-shirt.
I think we're all going to have to do that today. It's that warm. But listen, Jamie, thank you so much. And do keep doing what you're doing, mate.
No problem. Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Welcome to the Down About Down podcast from County Down, Northern Ireland, with your host, Chris Scott, for your ears only.
Thank you once again to Jamie Quinn from Killalea, and that's a gentleman to watch out for in the future. Jamie, keep at it, son, and we want to see you back on stage again. One person, one young fella who has an amazing and brilliant future ahead of him is on next. I had a chat with the extremely talented Zach Mack, and he's a 15-year-old from Lurgan. You've got to check this guy out. Almost 1 year later, we're back at the same place, right outside Killalea Castle, and I'm speaking to Zach Mack again. Zach Mack, you got slightly taller the last time I was talking to you.
I've heard that too many times now.
You're now 15, and wow, I've just been watching all your social media, everything about you, and I knew it was going to happen. It's just going from strength to strength, Zach.
That's just the way it is. Like one of these songs go, it goes strength beyond strength, and I think that's happening for me at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah, and listen, well done, you. You know the talent is. I don't know. I don't even know where to rank you now. So much has happened in the last 12 months, mate.
I can't even keep up with it. things have just been escalating ever since last year. You know, I didn't think it would happen, but like all of a sudden, it's just a big massive spark of events happening. This is happening, and it's like, whoa, slow down.
Yeah, you know, you've come a long way just from making those videos in the bedroom, putting them out there. What has happened? What's the big highlights of the last 12 months? And there's so many. And don't forget to mention what's on your t-shirt as well, because you've now obviously got a sponsor.
Well, yeah, I've got Emerald Guitars on my back now, yeah. I'm endorsed by Emerald Guitars now. It's a full guitar endorsement, and yeah, obviously that's one of the main accomplishments.
Tell me something about Emerald Guitars, though. I mean, why Emerald Guitars? So what's so special about that?
The most obvious point is that they're one of the most unique guitars about, I think. You know, they've got a very special design, you know, and the sound of them, I mean, I've not really heard any other guitar like it, you know. It's hard to explain. You can only really look and play them to really know how special they really are.
Yeah. So they approached you then in the last 12 months anyway?
Yep, unexpectedly, yeah. I remember I got a phone call. My dad got a phone call from the man, Alistair Hay, who runs Emerald Guitars. And he says, like, are you up to do a full guitar endorsement with our company? And then my dad just handed the phone down to me. And then Alistair was telling me about how he wants to give me a full-on guitar endorsement. And then obviously I have to say yes, you know, that's a big accomplishment, you know, because not too many people get to experience that, you know.
Yeah.
especially at only 15 as well. It's kind of crazy.
You sound as if you got a lot more confidence. I take it you've been talking to a lot more press and TV and radio performances over the last 12 months as well.
I suppose it's mostly because I've been doing it for about, well, I'm 15 now, so when I started, I was probably about like 10-ish when I really started to like properly do stuff, you know. Yeah, no, I think it's just the confidence is going to build up over the years anyway. That's just the way it is, I guess.
And you know, you walked in tonight into the Dufferin Coaching Arms, and straight as soon as you walk through the door, there's a lady three times your age, four times your age, walked straight over. Come here, come around here. There's some of your biggest fans. Isn't that strange?
Well. yeah, it's quite inexplainable, to be honest. I don't really know how to explain it. No, I'm you know, that's very special to me, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and that's how you handle that, of course, you know, because that's absolutely. You're into a new phase now. I mean, you're going to be recognised everywhere you go. I've no doubt about that, Zach.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already being recognised over here in Killalea. I mean, that in itself is already an accomplishment. I thought I was going to go no bigger than my school at the start, but, you know, yeah.
So what are the other highlights of the last 12 months since we're last talking, Zach?
Well, got a couple gigs. I actually done one in Port Stewart, which is, I think it might be the biggest gig I've done, because I played in front of about like 800, 900 people, which is big, big, big.
Was that the Red Seals by any chance?
No, it was the Anchor Bar.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. I mean, it was the band Raised on Rock that got me to play there.
Right, okay.
They're very special guys. You know, Sean Nelson, brilliant guitarist, and all the other guys, you know, they're all great people, you know. And yeah, I'm very thankful that they're getting me into such like brilliant places to play in, and
Oh, I mean, what's coming up in the next few months? Have you unplanned?
Belfast gigs, you know.
Right, okay.
No, it's going to be, there's going to be quite a few stuff going on in like around Belfast and possibly Derry, depending on what happens, you know. Yeah. It's just a case of like just keep looking at like all my social medias, the Facebooks, the Instagrams, and all that, and basically you can just see what happens as far as gigs go, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, every time you put on a tube video or YouTube video or a video, there's at least 100, 200, 300 likes on it right away.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just a case of the popularity growing over the space of quite a few years, you know. Yeah. Because, to be fair, like, about 2 or 3 years ago, I wasn't really getting a whole, like, lot of response to anything. I mean, I didn't mind that since, I mean, there was still somewhat of an audience, and, you know, I was very happy at that. I just like playing in front of audiences, and if they like it, they like it, you know. Mm-hmm. But no, over the few recent months, yeah, everything's just exploded, really. I can't really explain it.
Keep going with it, kid. The other thing is, I noticed you had a bass guitar in your hand quite recently on online.
Yeah, I did do a couple of bass videos, and I also done a few videos of me playing on the keys as well.
So where did you pick all that up from?
Just picked it. I don't really know.
You're just so casual. What's next? I mean, your guitar then. So now you're finding your feet. Someone asks you in to do a gig. What genre are you going to do now? I mean, where are you finding yourself? What are you? What's your special music? What do you like doing now?
It's just rock and roll, you know.
Yeah.
Indie rock, alternative rock, all that sort of thing, you know. Between the 70s to the 2000s, I just like all that sort of music. You listen to bands like, even the early stuff like Led Zeppelin or Pink Floyd or Rush or the Beatles, you know, that's always been a big spark for me. And even bands from like the 90s and 2000s, like, you know, Nirvana, Foo Fighters, Queens of the Stone Age, Arctic Monkeys, The Strokes, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, brilliant. What about your own stuff then, Zach? Where are you with that at the minute?
We got a new album coming out. I think it's coming about a month or two. And that's going to be quite a big move for me. Thanks.
So you'd released the single and so on as well. How did all that go then? What way is that working on social media platforms and so on?
As I was saying, got new single out, Fluorescent. That's been quite popular, especially like even in school, people won't shut up about it.
Yeah.
And outside school, the thing's going really well so far. It's been played on Radio Ulster and stuff a few times.
Well, Zach, listen, I don't know when I'm going to see you again. I would say in another year you're going to be taller than me, but you're going to be right up there. I told you that the last time.
I know, we'll definitely see each other soon, you know.
Yeah. Listen, thank you again, Zach, and good luck for tonight, and thank you for taking the time to us again.
Thank you very much, mate.
Zach Mack, thank you so much for that. So for more details about Zach Mack, go to his Facebook page, Zach Mack Music, at ZACMAC Music. Wishing you all the best for that big, big future out there. Some more local talent up next. It's 18-year-old Charlie Hanlon from Downpatrick with Ewan McCara. We're back outside again, out into the sunny weather again, outside the castle, and this is a first for me. Welcome to Down About Down podcast, Charlie.
Hello.
Charlie Hanlon and
Ewan McCara.
Listen, welcome, guys. I first set eyes on you, Charlie, down in Denver, probably a couple of years ago, I think, with Connell.
Yes, that would have been the one. It was about 2021 at some point.
Yeah.
Great gig.
And it was a great gig. I'm not saying I never heard of you before, but I had never actually listened to any of your music and didn't know anything about you at that stage. But what I noticed immediately was your stage presence.
Thank you.
You were so active on stage, and I think that was the main attraction to me for the act was, oh my goodness, this guy has it. You know, and likewise the band that were backing you. Charlie, where did all this start?
I've been playing music for a long, long time. You know, like, I'm only 18 now, but I started playing when I was about 5. I started as a drummer initially and played drums for years, and then the first year I decided, like, you know, maybe I want to sing and play guitar, so I just picked that up and started writing my own songs because I couldn't be bothered learning anyone else's, you know. So I kept at that, like, and then here I am in Killaloe, you know what I mean?
Okay, let's rewind. So you're from Downpatrick, you're born and reared in Downpatrick.
DPK Massive all the way.
This interview is going to be quite difficult, isn't it? So, no, I'm going to give you a call. So, Yeah, so you're very young. Is there a musical family? I mean, was there music in the family? People backing you?
Yeah, well, my dad's a musician for a living. He's a bass player, Eamon Hanlon. He's very good. And then he's been playing, well, since he was my age, really, and then does that for a living. And yeah, that he was definitely inspiring growing up and got me into good music, you know. Wasn't rared on anything too bad, you know. So, and then I sort of ended up going my own way a little bit because he'd be more into like experimental, like funk and jazz and all. And then I started listening to indie music and he was like, oh God, what have I done? But no, my dad's great, I love him. But that's probably one of the only musical connections I have in the family, you know. So
you're 18, so you were born in early 2000s, odd. My maths wouldn't be great, but I mean, I wouldn't even know what was in the pop charts, and I was a 1980s sort of fan. So, I mean, what were you growing up and listening to?
I was big into the Beatles and Queen growing up. They were the main ones. And then when I started discovering music for myself, I got into this artist called Declan McKenna and Sam Fender and a band called Blossoms. And then locally, there was loads of bands. Like, there's a band called Brand New Friend from the north who are very, very good, and they've actually ended up like quite championing my music and being a massive help. But I start off as a big, big fan of them, but don't tell them that if they're listening, you know what I mean? So that's sort of what I was into, and then yeah, just it's inspired me to do what I'm doing now, you know.
So explain to me then, Charlie Hanlon, you're the lead, that's your name, you're out there, but these guys here back you sometimes then, is that right, Ewan?
Well, I met Charlie in tech with the drummer Finn as well. We all went to tech together, and then just like, you know, we always heard Charlie doing all these different gigs, and he was always talking about, like, he's got this guy on bass, and then he always sort of switching it up, and he was always doing different things. And it's like, we're all mates with Charlie, we all like the same sort of music. And then I came to last summer when the guy Finn, who we all met in tech, he'd already been playing Charlie for like 2-3 gigs. And then we were playing Whelans, and Charlie was like, I'm going to try a 4-piece. So he got me on guitar, and we've just been the same ever since, really. The odd change.
A few people couldn't do a few gigs, and then we got our dear friend Marfin and our friend Oshin as well to play a few shows. And yeah, it's fun, you know. It's like a big rotisserie belt of a band.
Just mates.
Yeah, a bunch of mates. And then Ewan's got his own band as well, and Nathan, he plays for me, and Finn, they both have their own bands, and everyone plays for everyone. So yeah, it's great, like a crack, like.
It's a big wheel of everyone helping each other sort of thing. Yeah. It's really nice sort of thing.
That's good. So we scene, like, you know, we're starting up, so if anyone wants to join the movement, DBK Massive Takeover.
Fantastic. So, you know, what are you like? What are your bookings like now? I mean, you've been with big names, sort of behind the scenes, on stage, after them. You know, tell me something about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it all sort of kick-started whenever I got a gig with these boys, Ash, and that sort of, like, made a lot of people aware of who I was, and ended up getting a few gigs. I ended up supporting Pete Doherty from the Libertines in Limelight, and a few local legends like the Florentinas and the Woodburning Savages, who are class, and, you know, and bands from traveling all around, just touring bands coming through Belfast asking me to come play with them. And great band from Belfast to me called Casual Riots as well, got to open for them, and that was great. So yeah, it just all started happening after a while, and, like, you know, it's hard work, but it's like, it's good fun.
You do it every night of the week, though?
Every night of the week?
Yeah.
I don't know, like, you know, I want to do it every night of the week, you know, but with these things, they come and go, opportunities, and you just need to kind of try to keep the ball rolling as much as possible. It's about being consistent and, you know, playing as much as possible and taking any gig you can get, really, you know, that's sort of what it is. But, it's sort of quieting down now for summer, but we're hoping to be busy back on running around August time as well. So, yeah, should be good fun.
So outside of the music scene then, what do you actually do? Are you studying, or what whereabouts are you in life's pathway at the moment?
I've just finished studying in Belfast Met, so that's me done, education, and Ewan's as well. He's
we've all finished tech now, like, so just just working now.
Whether we've passed or not is the big question, you know. But we're both just working our day jobs and doing our music. Pretty much that's what it is. I mean, my job is music as well. I do cover gigs for a living, so it's like it's a big. It's just I'm constantly doing music, and when I'm chilling out, I'm like, oh, I've been doing music all day. I'm gonna listen to some music to calm down, you know. So yeah, okay. I've just life around music, you know what I mean.
What about the writing concept then? Is that something that comes natural to you, or is that something you have to work out over time?
It definitely is work. I mean, some people will tell you like, oh, it just falls in your lap and all that crack. But nah, like I definitely had to work on my writing. Like some of the songs I was writing when I was maybe 13 were absolutely shocked. I had one called "Old Mom of a Cane," which was a big hit in DPK, like, but, and then you go through patches of not writing, because you'll write a batch of good songs, and then you have to write loads of really bad ones to get to the good ones again, and then you go through another batch, which I think I'm going through now. I've been spending a lot of time writing recently, so it's starting to come a bit more naturally to me, but at the start I definitely had to, like, work on it, and, like, you know, I went to a few writing camps with Cormac Neeson from The Answer, and then I also sometimes co-write with friends of mine, Aaron from Brand New Friend, the band I mentioned earlier. Me and him have wrote a song together and, you know, planned to write some songs with a few other friends of mine who release music. So, yeah, and my friend Austin from Downpatrick, actually, we write together quite a lot. So, but definitely when it comes to writing myself, it's definitely a push, but you know, I'm chancing my arm, that's what it is.
When I was your age, life was a lot different, and I mean, in the recording field, it was virtually impossible to get through a recording studio door. Number one, you couldn't afford it, and the whole technique was totally different. Is that something that you guys now do yourselves? I mean, the world's a different place now.
Not necessarily myself. I suppose, like, I work with a guy, Michael Mormeca, in Lisburn, and I play all the instruments myself, and then I co-produce it with him. But I'm quite lucky in that regard, because I've known Michael for a while and we just work together quite well. And you know, but there's some great, great producers out there as well that are like working with so many class bands, like Johnny Woods up in Belfast, and you know, Rocky O'Reilly and Start Together and all. So it's like, yeah, I would say it's more accessible, and they're more willing to like be like, if you're an upcoming band, like come into the studio, this is what you do, and it's all learning as well, you know. So yeah, it's not as difficult, I suppose, as it once was, you know.
Yeah, things are, well, you mightn't see that, but in my world, things are a lot easier now. You're from Dromore, I believe. I mean, what's your career path now? Do you know yet? I mean, what are you thinking of doing? Where do you go?
Well, I am up tomorrow morning at 4:30 to work at McDonald's. So after this, straight home to bed, and then up to 4:30. So I got my McDonald's going for me, but you know, I work 2-3 shifts a week, McDonald's, and it's just, you know, every weekend out gigging. So just keep going at that as much as I can, and hopefully one day the McDonald's goes away and it's just the gigging every night sort of thing. Because
there was a point where Ewan was playing for almost every upcoming band in Belfast as well. Like, he plays for everyone. Like,
there must have been just before Christmas, I was like probably like 7 other bands. So it's like I go to a rehearsal in the morning, work on my shift at McDonald's, play a gig for another band that night, bed, and then do the same thing the next day. And it was just, I must have done it for like a month, 2 months, and it was just like, I was like, you were enjoying doing the gigs and rehearsing, but you were knackered by the end of it all. Like, it was, but that's what it's all about. Like, you're meeting, I love the meeting all the different people in the music. It's just like playing with Charlie, and then going else just someone completely different. He has a different style of music, and you're having to change that. And it's just, I really enjoy all that. Like, it's really good crack.
You work with someone like Pete Docherty, or certainly you're in the background, and then, you know, if you look at what his lifestyle's been, you know, through his life, is it a lot of difficult patches? You're going into an industry where that can happen very quickly. Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I suppose, you know, you gotta stay professional, and you can't let anything get to your head too much. You gotta stay, like, we've done some big gigs, but the main thing is about staying humble and being just grateful for the experience, because it can be quite overwhelming at times, this line of work, and you're doing a lot of hours and a lot of work for pretty much no money as well. Like, but it's all worth it because it's all about playing the gig. And I'd say we stay quite grounded. We try our best to, like, you know.
That's what I always say. It's the McDonald's thing. It keeps you very well humbled.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing Ulster Hall one night, and the next morning you're way to McDonald's to get shouted at by customers, and you're just like, well, you can't win every fight. So
I did my time in a restaurant in Belfast as well, and that was rough going. I was like, I think it was a couple of nights after we played a big show in Voodoo. No, it was the night after we played a show in a venue called Voodoo and Coach Party, and the next day I was like getting told off by the manager for being late for work, and you know, that was like, but you need to do that. It keeps you on your feet, and, like, you know, and also, but you meet, it's also like, it's very easy to stay home because in Belfast and Downpatrick, people very much will tell you your position, and, like, you know, like, no one like plays around with you at all. They're like, people, like, slag each other, and it's good crack. Like, you know, it's like,
we all still live at home with our mummies and daddies as well. You can't be getting too big with your mummies and daddies, or else you get one of those around the back of the head, sort of thing.
I was getting too big for my boots to actually admit that, but sure, yeah.
That is the truth of it, though.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, listen, I'm going to wish you all the best, but can I ask you, for anyone who wants to listen to any of your stuff, where do we go to? Where do we look at?
It's just Charlie Hanlon everywhere, like Instagram and all that crack, and then Spotify, Charlie Hanlon. That's Charlie Hanlon at Charlie Hanlon. So, Charlie Hanlon, that's where it's at.
With a C, not a K.
With a C, not a K, yeah.
Listen, guys, I'm going to wish you all the best for tonight, and thank you for coming along to speak to us at Down About Down.
100%, Chris, thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you again to Charlie and Ewan for taking the time out to have a chat with me. Have a look at the Charlie Hanlon Facebook page for more details, and it's a name out there for the future, no doubt about that.
Welcome to the Down About Down podcast from County Down, Northern Ireland, with your host, Chris Scott, for your ears only.
And now a word with Conall Montgomery himself, the brains and brawn behind the Cornerstone Fest at Killaray. Conall also talks to me about his five-piece group, Black Dog Moon, and their recently released single, Mr. Trauma. It's over to you, Conall. Year two.
Year two, mate.
Year two. Band on the wrist. Two.
Band on the wrist, two.
The Cornerstone Music Fest 2023. Conall Montgomery, well done again.
Thank you very much, mate. Thank you.
We're sort of in mid-throes as we're speaking now.
Yes, we're about four or five acts in. Yeah. Can't remember.
And I mean, this time last year, the same crowd wasn't just in it this time.
No, it's grown because the hall's pretty full there, you know, for the afternoon thing. It is free from 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock, but I think the word has gone about, and there's a lot of young up-and-coming artists who are playing this festival, and they're a bit of a draw, you know. And even young Emma and Connor at the start, and young Jamie Quinn, it's his first time, and Jamie was phenomenal. He was just brilliant, so he was, and I'm so proud of him. You know, I just wanted to say that I'm so proud of Jamie.
I mean, you have given so many people in this town, and beyond, with people here from Newton Ards and so on, just getting a foothold into this scene, because some of these people didn't really dream of this. You know, they never have really had that opportunity, perhaps.
Yeah, I think that comes maybe from when I was young and wanted to be on the music scene and was sort of looking from the outside in and wishing for it and hoping for it. You know, and when you've got your eyes open, now that I believe I have, you see these people. You see these people who were me. And nobody seemed to see me. But if you've got your eyes open, you can see these people, and all you've got to do is reach your hand out and give them a go. Because if I come back 30 years, I don't see that there was the same opportunity for us. But then you've got to make your own road as well. But if somebody can open a little door here and there for you, you got to do it. When you find something good in life, try not to keep it for yourself. Pass it on, you know.
And I think the other big thing that I've noticed, only speaking to a few of the artists so far, their confidence is so much different from this time last year. It's
yes.
Boosted their confidence dramatically, and they've matured so much within 12 months.
Yeah. Emma, and Connor from our music therapy group. From that they opened last year for us, and to see them open this year and stand on stage strumming that guitar and singing as if it's second nature to them now, where last year they were very nervous, very uptight, got the job done, and they were brilliant last year too. But you can just see the growth in them, you know.
Of course, Connell, it's about music, but it's also about something else, the LCCL, and that's why you've set this up, so you're raising money. Tell us a wee bit about the background of that.
The background, when I found my sobriety, it's passing on what you've built yourself and what you've found yourself. There's an overwhelming, any addicts I've talked to or recovering addicts, whatever it is you find, there's an overwhelming want or need to help. And LCCL and Downpatrick are a hub who cater for addiction trauma, self-esteem, mental health. And they're open through the week there. And, you know, it's self-funded, and they need money to stay open. And if they're open, they're saving people's lives every day. So we've got to help them stay open, you know. And the job that Eilish and Manus do, and everybody else connected with LCCL, these are the forgotten charities, that the little charities get the scraps from the table. And we've got to, you know, we've got a community. Let's be a community, you know. If we get enough of what we need, it's all we need, you know. So let's share the rest with people who need it.
No, Connell, that's brilliant. And the venue here, you couldn't beat this place. The Dufferin Coaching House.
I love this hall. There's just a peace about it. It just brings a calm when you walk into it. It brings calm to you, you know. Although saying that, I have been sort of jittering about all day and worrying about this and worrying about that.
And worrying been sleepless
about nothing
nights.
Really, you know.
Well, listen, everything so far is going brilliant, and it's going to be a total success tonight.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, getting the band out again, Black Dog Moon, and young Zach Mack, all the way from Lurgan again, to give up his time, and young Charlie Hanlon from Downpatrick. Both these guys are going to be stars. You know, they're already stars. The whole country's talking about them, and a phenomenal talent in both of them. And Charlie's playing the festivals all over, and Zach's playing the festivals all over, and they still come down to the little Cornerstone Festival in Killalea. Yeah. You know, they want to be part of it. Yeah. You know.
Now, you mentioned just quickly before I let you go. Yes, of course, the group that you mentioned there.
Yes, Black Dog Moon. Black Dog Moon.
What was it again?
Black Dog Moon.
That's three times now.
Black Dog Moon.
Listen, you've just released, coincidentally, this week.
Yes.
Which fell quite well. I'm sure that was well organised. But Mr. Trauma?
Mr. Trauma was released yesterday on the 9th, the day before. So we'll be playing that tonight. And Mr. Trauma is basically all about us talking to each other, helping each other deal with and heal our traumas, and showing each other that it's possible to recover from whatever trauma you suffer from. And that was written 2 years ago for my cousin John Jack, and he's no longer with us, so it's dedicated to him.
Connell, that's fantastic. Listen, wishing you all the best for on stage later, and I know it's going to be a success. Thank you again.
Mate. Thank you so much. Thank you, mate.
Thank you once again, Connell, and do check him out at Connell Montgomery Music Facebook page or Black Dog Moon. Next up, it's Killalea's own Madison Rafferty.
Chatting with Chris on the Down About Down podcast.
And just off stage tonight in the Dufferin Coaching Inn, out of the fest, I've grabbed Madison Rafferty. Madison, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, another brilliant set, might I add?
Yes, well, I've really enjoyed it. I haven't played in a while, so it was nice to get back up and playing.
I think you were here this time last year as well with Connell's fest as well, weren't you?
Yes, I was indeed.
Now, we are sitting outside the beautiful surroundings here in Killalea at the castle. We were here, I think, 2 years ago, Madison.
I think that was just after I released my first song on Spotify, I do believe.
Yeah, how did that go then?
Good, it went really well. I've released one more since then. It's on Spotify as well, and I'm working on a few at the minute, hopefully to make an album.
Because the last time we spoke, we went through your sort of career from you were wee to you were bigger. Now you're even bigger again. That's 2 years ago, isn't it? It's really hard to believe, isn't it, the way time flies.
It is indeed. I don't think I've got much bigger, but I've definitely got older. Still small.
You know, you were travelling around the world at some stage. Sometimes you would see little videos in Spain or wherever it was. Was it Lanzarote? I'm not sure where all you'd been the last time.
Yes, we were in Lanzarote for 2 months playing. And then went to New Zealand after that and did a wee bit of music there. We didn't go for music, we went to travel, but played a bit of music there too, which was good fun.
Why does that not surprise me? You just walk in with your guitar, yeah?
Yeah, just bought a guitar over there and walked into the bar and got playing a few gigs anyway.
How did that go down?
Really well. Got free drink anyway, so we did.
Okay. Now, there was another chap on stage with you tonight, Matthew. So, quite a prolific drummer, I reckon. A bodhran. I'm not sure what he was. I'm not sure what you would call that instrument.
Yes, it's a boron. He is a very, very good drummer. I managed to met him at the Dufferin Arms in Killaloe. About a year ago, we were playing at the session in Killaloe on a Saturday and managed to get him to play with me on stage, and he is a very, very good drummer, so he is.
I believe now you're in a relationship.
We are indeed. I don't know how that happened, but it did.
Congratulations. Now, you seem to work together really well on stage there. You know, that's apparent that all works. I mean, the Dufferin, we're in the coaching house, but the Dufferin is really going back to your roots, really, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's where I started everything with music.
Do you still go? I mean, would you still join in on a Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, as much as we can get there. Any time that I'm not working, I'll be there to play.
I think the last time we spoke, obviously you're a guitarist, but I think you were trying other instruments at that stage. You were talking about banjos and mandolins, perhaps, something like that. Did you ever make a success of that?
Not a success yet, but I'm still trying.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
fair
I
play,
am, yeah. I'm still trying to play, so.
Yeah, okay, so music is now your life, or it's becoming more of your life. I mean, are you doing day jobs? Are you doing other things as well?
Yes, well, at the minute, Matthew, who we're speaking about, he shears sheep. So he's from a farm. So at the minute, just because it's summertime, that's what we're doing right now. And then other than that, I would do a bit of work in TV as a standby props. So you're behind the scenes on TV sets and just making sure that everything runs smoothly and everybody has their props and that the continuity's right on scene. So that's about 3-4 months of the year, and the shearing is about 2 months of the year.
Brilliant. So your studies, did that lead you into TV then? Is that, I remember you'd said to me you'd like to work in that sort of genre. Is that what's happened now?
Yes, well, I always enjoyed art and I always enjoyed everything creative, which is also how I got into music. But my brother and sister both also work in that industry. So they do. So my brother works in the department that I would work in, and he managed to get me a job when I was 14, and then I've just stayed there ever since.
Wow. Can we ask which TV station it is? We're allowed to do that?
Well, it's everything, really. I've worked mostly on kids' TV shows at the minute, so Zodiac Kids and CBeebies, and then hopefully move on to a Netflix job next, maybe. If everything goes well.
Brilliant. So your music career, I mean, you played there tonight. Have you any other bookings, or are you just going to take it as it comes, or what are you actively seeking? What are you doing at the minute?
Well, we're playing again this evening. So we are in the Oaks Bar and Restaurant in Darrocross.
Yes.
So we are. And then we've got a few weddings booked in for the summer, but definitely looking for as much as we can get throughout the summer season.
What about the writing then? I think I'd asked you last time, do you keep a wee notebook and all the different words and lines and things for the future? Are you developing your writing much?
Yeah, I am. Well, I'm trying to. I'm definitely writing new songs, anywhere that you can get inspiration. Just try and, as you said, write a line or two and eventually put it all together if it can come together.
I think the last time you'd been talking about, you know, relationships, and you're just trying that, you know, trying those type of songs, and you know, I suppose now life's moved on, you have a lot more experiences and things, and now you're in a relationship, mm-hmm. So maybe they'll be flow better, maybe. No, yeah, but you know where I'm coming from. So
yes.
You've matured a lot, obviously, in the last couple of years. How do you see it all going then in the future?
To be honest, I don't know. I really, at the minute, enjoy playing my own music. Every time I pick up the guitar to learn a new cover, all I want to play is my own song. So I keep trying to learn new things to play on stage, but I just end up writing a song instead. So that's definitely where it's taken me, which is why I'm hoping that I'll be able to record an album within the next few months, because that, I think, is what's in my heart at the minute, is my own music.
Brilliant. How many hits have you had then on songs? Do you know? Is that important to singers and songwriters these days?
I think it can be, but as long as a couple of people listen to it every month, and that's, I'm happy enough with that. I don't think I'm looking to be anywhere big anytime soon, but if somebody says that they've listened to my song, I'm happy. If it's one person, I don't need too many, you know.
No, Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Well, listen, Madison, thank you for taking time out to speak to the Down About Down podcast, and I've no doubt we'll be speaking in the future at some stage.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me.
Madison, thank you again for the chat. Catch up with her at Madison Stella Music Facebook site. That's Madison Stella Music Facebook site. Last but not least, I managed to catch up with Downpatrick's Barry Shields from Every March, and it's one of those interviews which inevitably ends up with lots of laughter. He's a great, funny guy.
Welcome to the Down About Down podcast from County Down, Northern Ireland, with your host, Chris Scott, for your ears only.
I would just come outside the venue again. The sun's died down us a little, and I have Barry Shields here. Barry, welcome.
Hey, Chris, how's it going? You good?
Yeah, all good, all good. We're not on the radio anymore. We're on a podcast, so thank you for joining me.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me.
Barry, it's a long time ago since we spoke last. It's probably about 19 paychecks for me, or thereabouts, coming up in 24 almost. I mean, where's the time gone?
And it was two years, because the album came out in July, and then I talked to you maybe a month later or 2 months later.
Every March. Now, I'm not going to go back through your history. Go back to the Vals and go back to the Jam. We talked about all that the last time, and that's all out there. But, you know, bring us up to date. We were sort of in COVID the last time, and yes, we were sort of keeping a distance, and the world had changed somewhat. And we were in the Music Centre at that time in Downpatrick. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm full-time. I work there full-time. That's my, lucky enough, that's my full-time job is music, which is very fortunate.
And yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, what exactly do you do down there? I mean, what have the facilities there?
Well, it's just tutoring for guitars and drums, keyboards, singing. We do a bit of recording. We do this viola, all kinds of instruments. James Healy from The Answer, he's the drum tutor. So it's a full-time job now, so it's took off massively. Yeah, Gillian Hanna is the Gillian McLean now. She owns it and runs it, and it was her idea, and it was, at the time, I don't think no one thought it was a good idea, but now she proved them all wrong, and it was a very good idea.
This is the second year of the fest, isn't it?
Yeah.
You were here last year.
Yes.
I find it, as a local here, it's brilliant. I mean, it's a brilliant venue.
I it's incredible. O'Connell, like, he's some boy. Yeah, so it sold out last year, it sold out this year.
Yeah.
So I take it next year it's going to be in that castle there.
We'll make inquiries through the year. I'll talk to Gawn later, but who knows? I mean, it would be a brilliant venue.
Oh, yeah, that lawn there. But I think someone lives in there, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's Ireland's oldest inhabited castle, and that family have lived there for 400 years or thereabouts. So yeah. I'll let you go and knock the door if you want. I mean, as it was put to me, I did go one time to interview the gentleman who lives there, Gawn, and he did say to me, he says, you know, people do ask all the time, but he said, this is actually my house if you think about it. You know, this is home.
I do remember about 20 years ago, Van Morrison,
that's right,
played there with Glenn Hansard, was on the bill, and I was remember that happening. Yeah. But I think it was just in the garden. I don't know.
Yeah, it was just in the gardens, I think. Yeah. So, you know, coming back to the venue here, back down to earth again, it's not going to happen there, let's be honest. I recognise quite a few of those songs tonight. You've had those in the circuit for a while, haven't you? Have you written any new stuff then?
Well, this year I've been doing this thing where every Saturday I write a song and I release it, like an acoustic version of it, on the Facebook page. So I have an absolute ton of songs, like maybe 60. So the plan is to start recording them in the autumn. And then there's one album finished already. It's going to come out in September. It's a concept one. It's got a different thing. And then next year, hopefully, we'll have a full-length Every March album. Yeah. It's good. The songs tonight, we did one song, 31 Steps, which is an old song. The big hit. I got a royalty check for that one, Chris.
Brilliant.
Yeah. It was 15 quid.
Yeah, okay.
So it was, yeah. So the rest of them are all kind of newish tonight. Like, well, they haven't been recorded.
Right.
But I have played them out before.
Yeah, okay. Good.
So there's plenty of songs, yeah. It's just getting the time to record them, really. Yeah. And the right, you know, people to record them with and all that kind of stuff. I don't like doing everything myself, because then you can't surprise yourself. You can't, you know, like all the people's input.
Yeah.
Sometimes I could be wrong.
Okay. You said the last time we were talking, you said that you might have thought of putting something on the vinyl if the demand was there. Did you ever go that route?
I've worked out how to do it.
Oh, right, okay.
So when the demand does eventually come.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to happen.
Okay, good. let's get in there and get those orders in then. Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. And you also said to me, I think if I remember, the Vals, that you'd like to have got together again just for another blast.
Yeah, we did. We got together for a gig last November in the Mandela Hall. It was for Foodstock. John Parr from Cass came over. We played, and then he done his set. So it was just, and I sold out Mandela Hall. So that was cool, yeah. And we are doing another thing in a couple of weeks. We're reenacting, you know, the Beatles rooftop performance.
Okay. Yeah.
In London, we're reenacting it on the roof of the OES Centre.
Brilliant.
In Belfast. That'll be fun.
Who came up with that idea?
I don't know. I think it's a charity thing.
Right. Okay.
But it's going to be, yeah, it should be fun. Do you know how many songs the Beatles played on the rooftop that day?
No idea. No idea.
Guess.
30?
Five. So we only have to learn five songs, so it's, you know.
Oh, I thought of it. All right, okay. Yeah.
I mean,
the last 3 minutes, 30 seconds each, you know, it was a bit of a short one.
Yeah. No, it was five. They played the same song a couple of times, and then the police came. Police came and shut them down. So we're going to try to get some policemen to come up and turn off the amps. I can't think as we can get it.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, brilliant. So what else have you in the pipeline then? You never get a serious conversation. I remember I asked you the last time, I said, you knew you supported the Jam and all. I says, you know, you must have looked up to those guys. And your answer was, they weren't really that tall.
That was a good moment.
You haven't changed much, have you? So, I mean, there must be hundreds of other bits of papers about there with little words on it and so on in the pipeline just to keep further in what you're doing.
Yes, well, as I said, there's 60 songs, and so I need to start working through them. But the videos going up on Facebook every Saturday is brilliant because it means I can kind of keep track of them. Like, I've got versions of them. So you can kind of gauge if people like, which ones people like and which ones they don't like, you know. And sometimes you put one up and you think, this is amazing. This is going to change the world. Yeah. And five people like it. And then sometimes you put up like a video that you think, this is just, all right. And like 35 people are like, this is amazing. So it's hard to know.
Yeah, but it's a clever way of using social media, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I don't know why nobody has done it before. I think it's someone probably has.
Yeah.
But I think I have to see it through now. Like, I guess you could say you're going to do it and then you do it for a few weeks or maybe a few months and then you just say, ah. But I'm determined to see it out, you know.
Okay.
So we're up to number 23 or 4 now, I guess, whatever week it is in the year, 23.
Okay.
Yeah, so there'll be 52 by the end of the year. Right. I just recorded one there now on that wall right there.
As he points over to the castle wall, yeah. You will get through that gate someday, honestly.
You can see it on the beach.
So I remember talking to you last time, and the artwork for the album then, that was someone fairly close to you, I think, had done all that for you.
Yeah, my wife, Nicola, she's an artist, and she done the artwork for the album and three singles as well.
Right, okay.
And so if we ever release any more, well, we do release more album singles, she'll be doing the artwork for them. Yeah, too. I've got the wee Every March single that we need to get in every release. Right, so you can look for it. It's going to be like a Where's Wally.
Right, okay.
I'm going to hate it sometimes.
Yeah, okay.
I just had that idea the other night, but it's a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. This is great. Just wing it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, brilliant.
Happy accidents.
Well, tell me this. Are you doing regular spots in anywhere? Is there anywhere anybody we can catch up with you? Or is it just random sort of venues? What were you working at the moment?
We're doing an Every March gig in the Sunflower on the 17th of November. Okay. That's, and apart from that, I still do cover gigs around the place with the Renegades and that. But I'd like to do more original stuff.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's, you know, you have to put it on yourself.
Okay.
Unless, as Conal Montgomery wants to do, maybe two a year.
Probably be listening now. We'll see what we can do for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, Barry, once again, thank you for your time and what a great event this was. And you were absolutely fantastic, as per usual.
Well, thank you. Cheers.
Barry Shields, thank you, sir. I'd like to speak to you as usual. For more details of Barry's ventures in the music world, then go to Every March Facebook page. That's the Every March Facebook page.
Welcome to the Down About Down podcast from County Down, Northern Ireland, with your host Chris Scott, for your ears only.
All superb stuff, and again a big thank you to all the artists who took time to speak to me. Great to see Northern Ireland talent live on stage and flourishing, especially the local talent here around County Down. The future does look great. So after a magnificent day in Killaloe, it was great to hear that the second Cornerstone Fest raised a massive £2,550. Wow. All for LCCL and Pop-Up Art, or the charity in Downpatrick. I take my hat off to Colin Montgomery, the Dufferin coaching in and hall, and everyone who was both on and off stage at that venue. Well done, folks. The community helping the community. So until we meet again on the next Down About Down podcast, I'm going to say, stay safe, folks.
If you would like to get in touch with Chris at the Down About Down podcast, then email downaboutdown@outlook.com. You've been listening to Down About Down podcast, hosted and produced by Chris Scott, for your ears only.